we started this new Torah in Reb Nachman, Torah Samech Tet, and after we saw this amazing shir, this amazing idea in the previous teaching, the previous recording, about the depth of mammon, the depth of where money comes from, and how finances are not just this means for an end, but rather if money is the deepest desires, money is my deepest desires, and money is kisufi, my nefesh's desire. In Mishnah Nafshechem, we spoke about this. Then we speak about a really deep aspect about how money is truly deep and truly connected to my neshama. It brings out the infinite potentials that my neshama has, and therefore I shouldn't covet or desire money just for the sake of a social status. Rather, I should desire what money represents. Money represents different possibilities, different aspects of the Torah, of my neshama, and therefore I desire it. So if we spoke about the greatness of money, now Rabbi Nachman is going to talk about the damage of theft, of stealing, of taking somebody else's money, right? Now, until now, we might have thought, oh, it's just not an ethical thing. I took somebody's money. That's not good. It's not my money. It's not yours. You shouldn't take his toys, right? They're not yours. But here, Rabbi Nachman is telling us, no, if we understood correctly our previous teachings, Torah Samech Tet, about Hesach Hadad, about being confused, being in a wrong state of mind. Now we're going to talk about Samech Tet, the Stiyah, moving off the beaten path into a bad place. When I steal somebody's money, I'm stealing somebody's desires. I'm not taking his money. It's not about the money. It's not about the $50. It's about what those $50 represented, which was different possibilities for lunch. And now there's different possibilities. And this is goes to the deepest trenches that Rabbi Nachman is talking about. Is that you can, if you steal somebody's money, you can chas v'shalom kill his kids and deny him of the children that he has. Or if he's waiting for kids, stop that. Why? Because the deepest desires are my children, right? At the end of the day, person leaves his parents and becomes one with his spouse. V'yu lebasar echad, they become one flesh. My desires, their desire, her desires are now intermingled, intertwined together into the deepest aspects of what this world represents. And therefore, all that I couldn't achieve in my life, I'm putting into my kids. Now, I don't want to force my kids, right? The goal of my kids are not to live out my desires that I wasn't able to. I can't force them. But in a way, when my kids are able to achieve things that I wasn't able to achieve, I'm amazed by that, right? When my daughter sits there reading book after book after book after book, and I'm like, you know, break my teeth to like read one sentence in Reb Nachman, like I'm amazed. It's amazing. This is phenomenal, right? The children are the greatest desires that we have, and this is something truly, truly profound. If Chas Shalom Reuben steals from Shimon, he can steal his children, and this is very, 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 very scary. And we see this because at the end of the day, you know, in this week's Parsha, Yaakov is going to Laban's house, and he comes back with he comes with no money. And Rashi brings this famous midrash that, you know, he left with a lot of money, but then Esav sent Eliphaz, his son, to kill Yaakov, and Yaakov reaches Eliphaz, and Eliphaz reaches Yaakov, and he really likes his uncle. He doesn't want to kill him, but what can he do? Keep it off of him. So Yaakov tells him, listen, Chazal told us ani chashuv kemeit, a poor person is like a dead person. So take my money, and then it's like, look, I'm dead. And you did what your dad asked. And everybody asked, but that's not what his dad, how's that gonna help? Well, and Chazal pointed out that his name is Eliphaz, right? My God is his money. The same way the Americans write on their dollar, and God we trust, right? And Menachem Begin, when he was asked, why didn't we write on our dollar, and God we trust, said, because our God is in our dollar, right? And Mary, the forefathers, right? Obviously, they were very religious people, and they said, you know, well, let's put on our money, and God we trust, and remember that we trust in God and not in the money. But today, when America is not so religious anymore, so their God is their money. Eliphaz, that's the Rabbi Nachman's famous Torah of Sipurei Maaseiot, of the master of prayer, where there's a country that their social status is based on money. This is the Klipa, right? At the end of the day, we're going back to this. Why is money children? Not only that I live my desires, but in the Klipa, in the negative form of things, what's going to be the case? The case is, so Aleinu, children are a financial decision, right? I have a financial status. I have to, on a financial way, try to figure out what if I can have kids. Sadly, you talk to people and they're like, listen, I'm gonna have kids. We're like, I have to get a job for have like financial income. They're, right? Or like, they're like, well, I can't afford another child. I mean, you hear that, people say that. It's like, people say it, and even religious people say it. I mean, I'm talking about tuition in America today, right? About the immense amount of money for Jewish education that's worth a few pennies. But children are financial status. That's in the world of Edom, in the world of the Esavian world. Children are a financial decision. Now, this shouldn't be the case for the Torah, right? Somebody said to me, you want to raise your kids and you're going to move to Israel? It's so financially it's not easy. I said, you want to raise your kids in a place where they cost you money? You know, you're just gonna go to the hospital, and here's the bill for having a baby. You go to Israel, you go to the hospital, here's the reward, right? The government gives you right off the bat thousands of shekels, just like, you know, we're so proud of you for having children. That's amazing. We want to celebrate that. You want to raise your kids where they're celebrated, or where they walk around feeling they're a financial burden, right? Where mom and dad don't have money anymore because they have to go and get a tuition, they have to go get a stipend for me because I cost them too much money. That's a whole different conversation, but in the deepest depths, children are a financial toll, not financial in terms of money, but in terms of desires, right? They're tolling, they're taking out my desires, they're drawing out of me things that I didn't have yet, didn't want yet, and that's a phenomenal thing. And if a person steals money from someone, he's taking away his desires, which is crucial. So until now, we were speaking about, like money is just an ethical thing, or like, you know, no, money is your rasa, and therefore chasam, stealing is huge, huge, huge. We're going to talk about it. How is stealing close to adultery, related to murder, coveting? All this is going to come up sooner than Nachum. But right now, we have to understand that when stealing some money from someone, you're not just stealing the dollar bill that's sticking out of his pocket. You're not just pickpocketing him. Your mom is taking away that ratzon, the kisufim, part of the neshama. We should be zocha to truly understand the challenge that brings out, right? The greatness of money, not to have hesach hadat about what money's all about. It's all about what it represents, the potentialities, the mirrored possibilities, and also understand not to have the stiyah, the diversion from the true path of my connection to finances, and what the world of Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to create. We should be zocha.